Steve Dale's Other World on WGN. Welcome to the program. So I mentioned to my guest, I said, we'll be talking about vintage television. I think that's the way I said it. And they both smiled in the studio. I think there's an automatic smile that happens. I mean, next week on the show, for example, get ready, beware, you are about to smile. Next week on the show, I'll be interviewing Dreanna Denver, the widow of, Bob Denver, Gilligan's Island. The name of the book, Gilligan's Dreams, The Other Side of the Island. Did you smile? Just by hearing Gilligan's Island, you probably did smile. Well, our guest understands that as well as anyone, Dr. Will Meyerhofer, psychotherapist and author of Still Way Worse Than Being a Dentist, and Life is a Brief Opportunity for Joy. Hello, Dr. Meyerhofer. Welcome to WGN.
Hi, Steve. Great to be here.
All right.
And yeah, I'm smiling.
Yeah, exactly. Is that right? That we just say
yeah,
something
it's kind
like...
of a natural impulse. It's, it connects us with our child. You know, it's what we therapists call regression in the service of the ego. We help our adult selves by regressing, going backward into the child inside us.
Does that really happen?
Yeah, that's how it works. It's the funny thing is, you know, the fact that we're having this conversation itself, you know, is I always point out to my patients when they're doing something unconsciously, because they say, I don't know what came over me. Why did I do that? You know, and here we are asking ourselves, why do we smile? You know, what is it about Gilligan's Island that makes us all smile? It's unconscious, right? And the fact that we don't even understand it, we're searching for an answer for why we're doing this, says this is an unconscious regression. We are going back to something very young, very early. Interesting, huh?
Yeah. So it turns out this is a very timely conversation for many reasons. One is tonight on CNN, they're launching a series called The History of the Sitcom. But it turns out whether you watch, and I want to know the answer to this. So you were probably born way after the Jack Benny program debuted on television, or George Burns and Gracie Allen. But if you give those shows a chance and you watch them, what is it about those programs or programs we know that go back in time, depending on the era you happen to be from, that are comfort food? Whether it is, if you're from the 1970s television world, maybe the Mary Tyler Moore Show. The 1960s, I don't know, maybe Mr. Ed. The 1950s, I Love Lucy. What is it about those shows?
Well, I mean, there is one filter in place that we have to acknowledge, which is these are some of the best shows of their time, you know?
Yeah.
I always think with nostalgia that people tend to forget that, you know, they think, oh, I love the music of the 60s. It was so much better than anything today. And you think, well, that's because you only listen to the best of it, you know? So there is that, you know? There's the fact that, you know, Jack Benny was the best show, you know, he was a phenomenon in his day, right, for a reason. So there is that. That's kind of a sort of an adult thing. But then there's the kind of child side of it, which is it presents a world where everything's okay, you know, where everything's kind of, you know, we know the rules. It's got this kind of discrete world. There's also the sense that, you know, nothing's going to scare us. This all goes back to, you know, when you do studies on children, what makes children happy and what's good for them and promotes sort of a healthy childhood. It's stability, basically, above all else. And these shows do have a big piece of stability to them. You know, they're full. Everything there is kind of predictable. Nothing terrible is going to happen. And they're also, you know, TV shows are like Dickens novels when he wrote them, at least. They're serialized, you know. So every episode is the same show. Pretty much what you're expecting is going to be given to you each week, you know.
All right, a couple questions come to mind here. So
okay.
I'm looking at the list that Antenna TV happens to have on, and one of those programs is Father Knows Best. I mean, that's exactly what you're talking about. I mean, it was very predictable. You knew that there would be a happy ending at the end of it all. It was enjoyable. I don't know that it was laugh-out-loud funny all the time, but people go back to watch it. Maybe a better example would be Leave It to Beaver. That has become, interestingly enough, among people who are 20-something, apparently, this big thing to watch now on television. I don't know why, but it is. I don't know that that was the greatest sitcom there ever was. But again, same thing. Very predictable. And always a happy ending.
Yeah, you know, there's so much iron in these shows. You know, if you meet the actors involved, I mean, the guy who played Dad on Leave It to Beaver, his real son was seriously injured in a fatal accident. He lost his mother-in-law in the accident in the third season of that show. And Jerry Mathers, the guy who played Beaver, said that, you know, Hugh Beaumont, his dad on the show, was just walking through his part pretty much that season because he was in a state of trauma, you know, from this terrible accident that has, you know, he almost lost his son's life, you know. So here you have this tragedy hanging over the whole thing, and yet we watch it to be assured that that would never happen. You know, I mean, that would never happen on the actual Leave It to Beaver, you know. And it's sort of, it just is sort of wonderful irony. I don't know if it's wonderful, but it's sort of interesting irony that, you know, the kind of things that happen in real life never happen on the show except to, you know, the actual people who are the actors on the show, you know. And maybe that's a clue to why we love it so much. You know, it takes place in this fantasy world where everything's going to be okay, you know. And our childhood should be like that. I mean, I have a young child, and I'm trying to create a world for him where everything is okay, everything's stable, you know, and you know, breakfast is on the table at such and such time, and, you know, school bus shows up, and classes, and everybody's nice to him, and everything's good, and, you know, children need that. And we have a child inside us who needs that, you know, and, you know, sure, in reality, the actors in Leave It to Beaver were dealing with a tragedy, but on the TV screen, everything's just fine. It's like it exists under a, you know, a dome where it's always sunny and 73 degrees, you know?
Mm-hmm. So I was talking...
The problem, of course, is to fall into the trap of, you know, these shows are kind of like sugar. You don't want to eat too much, you know, at some point. Even for a child, at some point he's going to realize that the school bus is a little bit of a construct, you know, that in real life everything isn't quite that easy. And you know, let's face it, when we look through the prism of these shows, we're looking back at a time where, I mean, look, on Leave It to Beaver, I don't think there's a black person even in existence, right? I don't think an LGBT person exists anywhere on that show, and Mom is always in the kitchen, you know, fixing up dinner, right? So,
exactly.
You know, this is, you know, you're looking back at an imaginary reality, and I guess it's important to be able to, you know, go back and sort of enjoy it the same way you would a video game, but also kind of emerge out of it back into adulthood and realize that this isn't real, you know. The danger here is you fall into this kind of, you know, this false belief that somehow America was perfect at some point in the, you know, the near past, you know, this make America great again kind of thing, you know. And it can be, you know, a little upsetting for the people who remember back then how it really was. And, you know, and they say, no, Leave It to Beaver is a fantasy, okay? It's a nice fantasy. It's nice to go back to. It makes us all smile. But you know, we can't just eat sugary, you know, sweets and lollipops for dinner, can we? You know?
Well, in fact, that leads me perfectly into the next question. So Barbara Eden from I Dream of Jeannie, one of those antenna TV shows, she actually told me once that it was all about fantasy. And she said, who doesn't fantasize that they have superpowers or would like to know someone who has superpowers or would like a genie, especially one who looked like her, of their very own, right? And she said, it was all about fantasy, but how can that be a bad thing?
Well, you know, the funny thing is we have it right now. I mean, look, you know, comic books were considered this great danger when they came out. You know, there were all these, like, you know, concerned parents against comic books and superheroes and all this kind of stuff. It's hard to even remember those days, but I was just reading a book about this. Actually, I think David Haydu, the writer, wrote a wonderful book on the, you know, the threat of comic books. And now look where they are, right? I mean, there's a comic book movie coming out every month, right? All these, you know, Avengers and Superman and Batman and on and on and on. And it is kind of wonderful, isn't it? It's a wonderful fantasy. I suppose the same way Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, right? You know, my superpower is I have endless money. You know, what's your superpower? I don't know. I love the idea of the X-Men, you know, the notion that we're all a little weird, a little broken maybe. Maybe we're mutants or whatever. But in a kind of, it has a positive side, you know, that's our superpower.
All right. So I want to know, it's this party question I'll ask you. I'm going to psychoanalyze the psychoanalyst. What would your superpower be? We're going to find out what he says and why he says it when we come back here on WGN. More back, our conversation about vintage television. 312-981-7200. You can call. You can text. It's always good to hear from you. I mean, what was your favorite show from back in the day? And why? So when you would turn on television, now you can do it on YouTube, right? And you can watch any program you want virtually. I think so. I think literally, except the old Kinescope shows, if you go back that far, I don't think they are available as readily. But All these other programs are. What's your favorite? And probably most of you may say Bewitched. I don't know. Have you noticed, maybe not, have you noticed that your sofa, loveseat, and recliner are looking a bit dull and grimy these days? But ordering new furniture is expensive, and right now you can take up a year to be delivered. How about giving your furniture a deep clean to bring it back to life? Call Executive Green Carpet Cleaning. They're experts in upholstery cleaning. They utilize state-of-the-art tools, all connected to their powerful mount truck, specifically designed for upholstery cleaning. And just like their carpet cleaning, Executive Green exclusively uses purified water. This is really important when it comes to upholstery cleaning. Purified water protects against bleeding and water stains, something you may experience with steam clean companies that use just tap water. Executive Green will protect your fabric, thoroughly clean your upholstery, and bring your furniture back to life. Ask about their current summer specials, including a sofa and loveseat cleaning for only $179. They're the best value in town. The phone number is 630-990-8600, 630-990-8600, or schedule online at wgnclean.com. 12 minutes before 3 o'clock on WGN. Oh, we have tons of... I turn around, I see all these phone calls. That's a great thing. Can you handle, Grace, the phone calls for me there with pushing the thank you very much? Dr. Will Mayerhofer, we have the calls on different lines than I'm used to. You don't care about any of that. Here is what Dr. Will Mayerhofer is. He's a psychotherapist who knows about this stuff, who is the author of Still Way Worse Than Being a Dentist. What's that book about?
It's actually a follow-up to a book called Way Worse Than Being a Dentist. It's about being a lawyer.
Yep, well, that could be, and interestingly enough, after 3 o'clock, Legally Speaking is here on WGN. But she didn't hear what you just said, of course.
I'm a former lawyer myself, so I'm writing from my experience.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Okay, let's go to John on WGN. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. What's your favorite show from back in the day?
Well, I would say Gomer Pyle.
Gomer Pyle? Why is that?
I mean, it is just so hilarious. Me and my friend, we watch it. It's on every night at 8 o'clock, and it's just a riot. It's just, I mean, the writing is kind of wacky and zany, but we just love it. It's hilarious.
Do you think the show's back, Gomer Pyle's from the 1960s, it was a spinoff of the Andy Griffith Show, do you think those programs are overall funnier than overall the programs on today?
I would say so to some degree. I mean, you know, you've got a lot of the animated shows like Family Guy, maybe The Simpsons, but yeah, I'm not a big fan of that, so I would say yeah, because even though a lot of the plots are far-fetched, but I don't really like a lot of the new sitcoms. And off the top of my head, I can't think of hardly any, you know, and currently that I really am that into. I like other types of shows, maybe like The Walking Dead. I was watching for a while. I stopped watching that, and
I wouldn't call The Walking Dead a sitcom, however. Unless your sense of humor is really skewed. Now, it says here, John, that Johnny Carson is actually your favorite show from back in the day.
Oh, yeah. And then that's the other one. Watch it every night, just about. It's just fantastic. I mean, it takes you back to those days, you know, when I was growing up in the late 70s and early 80s and even in the early to mid 70s. And Friday nights, they have the 90-minute episodes, which are from the earlier, like in the early 70s to the mid to late 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just fantastic. You know, you hear the monologues and talking about the various people who were in the spotlight at the time, the various politicians and, you know, the actors and actresses. And it's just fantastic to watch. I love it.
So
just kind of get tired of watching the same episodes over and over.
So is our guest, Dr. Will Mayerhofer, the psychotherapist, correct in that when we say Johnny Carson and you're watching Johnny Carson on Antenna TV, or maybe it is Gomer Pyle that you're watching, and I just say Gomer Pyle, do you smile?
I do. Oh, you mean a doctor?
No, I'm asking you, John.
Oh, Oh, yeah. I mean, it's definitely a feel-good, and it's just a feel-good thing. It takes you back into the good old days, and, I mean, Gomer Pyle goes really far back, of course, like you said, from the mid to late 60s. So I was born in 64, so I was really young when that was on, but...
Well, that's the thing, too. That's the thing that's interesting to me. Thank you very much for the call, John. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
The thing that's interesting to me is that some of these programs that people watch, Doctor, they weren't even born when these shows were on. You know, an example would be Lucy. You know, I Love Lucy has been seen by generations around the world since 1952, I think, when the show debuted.
Yeah, you know, look at the great show. I mean, there is, you said it, funny is funny, I think, at one point. There is just, these are the great shows of their eras, but there is also a sense to these shows of innocence, right? It's interesting you point that out, because, I mean, I was going to say that, you know, a lot of these shows are like your childhood food. You know, whatever you grew up eating, it tends to be your favorite. But, you know, if you didn't grow up eating it, there is that question, well, then why on earth do you still love it when, you know, it's not what you grew up on? And it's interesting. I guess there's that magical kind of innocence to it, right? I mean, mm-hmm. Again, I mean, look, the reality of the Lucy show is she had to fight hard to get it done. It was a woman running the show, which was completely new. It was a Latin guy, her husband. You know, she had married a Latin, which in those days was killer, you know, shocking. And
yeah.
And the marriage had gone sour, you know, so she was dealing with a sort of the breakup of her marriage off stage, while on stage, you know, she had this raucous comedy about, you know, her loving marriage. So, you know, there is this weird kind of, you know, there's the adult looking at I Love Lucy, and there's the sort of child inside you looking at I Love Lucy. I guess the child looking at it just sees an innocent, fun world where, again, you know all the rules, nothing terrible is going to happen, and it's funny. You know, I mean, it's a great show. I mean, if you see interviews with Lucille Ball, she pats herself on the back and says, you know, yeah, we were working our butts off to write that. And to, you know, I had great cast and really got lucky, you know.
Well, yes, I think it was more than luck. And I actually knew her. And she received over the years thousands of letters saying, and I know you're not Dr. Norman Cousins, but saying that, you know, from people in their hospital bed writing, people that suffered a serious loss in their lives saying that you have saved me. And she would get very emotional when she would talk about that. I mean, this was years later as she was older. But is there some truth to think that, I mean, we were talking earlier in the program how being out in nature is actually healthful. Is laughter truly the best medicine?
Oh, yeah, there's no question. I mean, look, you know, people always ask me, you know, do I have chemical depression or do I have clinical depression? I'm like, it's just depression. It's all the same thing. Everything's chemical and everything's clinical. You know, we're chemical. We're a big bag of chemicals. You know what I mean? And the truth is the mind is a big part of any illness. And there's no question that your state of mind affects it. You know, there is a story. I don't know if this is apocryphal, that somebody with cancer just sat in a room watching old Bill Murray movies and laughing his ass off and, you know, got better. You know, I wouldn't doubt it. I think that, you know, that it probably does a lot of good. I mean, a good laugh. I mean, I know, you know, someone said to me at the end of a therapy session a while back, oh, that was a good one, Doc. You know, I got the good feeling. You know, and I said to him, well, you know, what makes it a good one? He said, oh, you know, the good feeling. And I thought, yeah, I know what you mean. It's that sense of lightness, that sense of taking the weight off of your chest and just kind of feeling like you can let go of it. And I think that's what happens when we watch something like a Lucy show episode. You know, we take the weight away and we just kind of go to a world where everything's okay. Mm-hmm. And we just lighten up. And it does us a world of good, I think.
Yeah, and she didn't like shows, actually. In her, personally, I know this. She did not like shows that showed reality. She said, it's better. We worked on purpose to have this made-up character with a predictable ending, and we wanted to do the best we can to make it believable. We believed it, but we knew it wasn't necessarily believable. Carrie, you're on WGN. What do you think?
Hey, Steve. I've got a really, really quick, funny story that illustrates everything you guys have been talking about. And actually, now that I just thought about it, what your guest just said is that it illustrates that there's all kinds of things that vintage TV shows do. And when I was in graduate school, and you can plug in any TV show for this, when I was in graduate school in the 90s, I worked with two very, very talented Chinese chemists who they had to take English as a second language test. a class, and then they had to pass it. So we would help, you know, the English native English speakers would help them with their essays and things. And we got to one of their essays, and it was very, very basic stuff, like what do you like to do for fun? And at the end, the English was very, very good. And at the end, it said, and we like to watch Three's Company.
Hmm.
And we started laughing, and she's like, is the English bad? We're like, no, why do you watch Three's Company? And she said, oh, it's because they're all the same. It's familiar. We like the characters. Nothing bad. Exactly what you guys said. Nothing bad happens. So they could watch the show. They were actually picking up English from watching Three's Company, but you can plug in any of the shows you guys talked about because everything you guys said, they're always very familiar. Plot's always the same. Nothing bad happens. But they could actually figure out what's going on and actually pay attention to the English. So somewhere, I haven't seen them in years, but there's two very talented chemists who partly learned English from Three's Company.
So. Carrie, that's really interesting. And I was talking about Lucille Ball and what she... Actually, John Ritter was one of her very favorites. She adored him.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Jennifer, you're on WGN.
Yes, good afternoon to you. This is a perfect program on a segment because I love the Quartz of Eddie's Father, and I love Jerry Lewis's anything being comedic.
Courtship of Eddie's Father. Why that show?
Yes.
Yeah. Why?
Oh, because it related to the truth about a it was so real because I'd never seen such an uplifting program.
I love that. You came up with a good one. Thank you so much,
Maria. Yeah, because I even tell my sister, Leona, you know, I'm part comedic, but she doesn't understand that fully because I am really bipolar, but I'm trying to say all the good people die, you know, like Jerry Lewis, Robin Williams, even Johnny Depp betrayed good people.
All right. Well, that's the problem with real life. Thank you very much for calling. That's the problem with real life, I suppose, is that some of these actors are now, many of these actors way back from the 50s and 60s, Dr. Mayerhofer, are gone. Thank you very much for talking about this topic with us. We will chat again at some point in time. And
my pleasure, Steve.
It's what really attracted me to it is a story that you participated in. Was it for Time Magazine that said, yes, watching these shows are like comfort food.
Yeah, especially in these times with COVID and everything. Yeah. You know, it's very comforting. It's really given a lot of people a lot of solace, I think.
Well, talking to you has been very comforting. Thank you so much.
Thank you.